Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you into Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning here on the Tyranny Response Network. It's currently low 70s throughout the upstate. About 73, as a matter of fact, in Clemson, 72 in Greenville. Going to rise up to probably the mid-80s today, according to the Weather Service, if you can believe them. And a lot of thunderstorm activities this morning. In the afternoon, likely once again, more thunderstorm activities. So if you're making your way out today, be prepared for the wet weather once again. Glad you joined us this morning. As usual, great show on tap. Lots of different things to discuss today, which should be of great interest to those of us who are Christians who love liberty. Here's a couple of stories to start out with. Just scanning the internet, found out a few interesting stories that might be of interest to us. Oh, before I do that, let me tell you our phone number for the day. Let's see. We've only got one phone line working today. That's 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. If you want to talk to us on the show, we by all means welcome you to do so. Give us a call again at 864-201-6955. Well, Fox News reports that Michigan eateries raided in a tax cheating probe. Traverse City, Michigan authorities raided 17 Chinese restaurants around Michigan. They suspect of ducking millions of dollars in taxes and importing undocumented workers as modern version of indentured servants. Search warrants were also served at 21 homes of suspected undocumented Chinese workers. Dozens were involved in the scheme, State Police Lieutenant Kurt Schramm said. It costs them X number of dollars to come to this country, and they're trying to work off that debt, Schramm said. Investigators believe one family or related families own the restaurants, which are mostly in the central and west central areas of the Lower Peninsula, the statement said. All right, now this is an interesting thought for us as Christians. You know, there's a lot of discussion about immigration and illegal immigration in particular. What do we think about indentured servitude? I mean, we're not talking about people running across the border. We're talking about in Arizona and forging, you know, all sorts of dangers in order to get here. These are folks who pay their way here because someone else essentially foots the bill for them, but then they have a debt to pay them. They have to work off that debt. It seems to me they have a totally different set of incentives than those who just run across the border and show up here and do their work as many folks from Mexico do. I don't know. What do you think about it? What do we suppose about having a system of indentured servitude again? Why is it a problem? I mean, they're criticizing it here as if it was wrong. We had so many Americans whose ancestors began that way here. They got their passage paid for and they, you know, by showing up here and doing some work. Essentially, they were voluntary slaves for a period of time. Well, I'm not sure that I have any problem with that at all. I don't see any reason why we should be concerned about this. If they come over here under that pretext and they end up being workers, not here just to take advantage of the welfare state, and not here because they intend to just bum off something or other, well, I don't have a problem with that. Let them come. They'll end up being perhaps productive workers in society. So somebody may disagree with that this morning. There's always something that somebody who's not content with my views on immigration, even though there are many who are. Yeah, last night in my class, I've been teaching a course in Gaffney area on having to do with economics, and we talked about immigration issues, especially my idea of privatizing the border instead of letting failed government bureaucrats try to police it or the actual military. And people were fairly impressed. We didn't have much discussion. They all agreed that privatizing the border, at least they all, you know, appeared to agree, and many of them said so, that they prefer to have a privatized system of the border than other things. So at any rate, So let us know your thoughts if you have a different opinion, 864-201-6955, specifically about this indentured servitude of the Chinese workers in Michigan. All right, we have some other interesting events around the world. Speaking of global security, the United States is probing private security guards in Iraq. Baghdad, the U.S. military has investigated 16 private American security guards for shooting at U.S. Marines and Iraqi civilians during a three-hour spree last month west of Baghdad, officials said Thursday. Meanwhile, President Jalal Talabani said up to 25 Sunni Muslim emirs will be appointed to join elected lawmakers in drafting Iraq's new constitution, averting a threatened Sunni boycott of the process if they did not receive greater representation. The Marines said the 16 Americans and three Iraqi contractors sprayed small arms fire at Iraqi civilians and U.S. forces from their cars in Fallujah on May 28th. There were no casualties. Marines spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Dave Lappin said the Marines reported seeing gunmen in several late-model trucks fire near civilian cars and on military positions. Three hours later, Marine Observation Post was fired on by gunmen from forces or from vehicles matching the description of those involved in the earlier attack, Lappin said. Skipping on a little bit down here, the Iraq's rampant insecurity has spawned a thriving private industry comprising Iraqis and former military personnel from around the world to protect foreign contractors working on reconstruction projects, journalists, and senior government officials and diplomats. This is the highlight of the story for me, not the fact there was this gun battle. The fact is that many companies, people who have something at stake there, people's lives, are not content to trust the United States military to protect them. Just as in the same case as I'm saying, it won't work on the border if you put the military there. People are concerned that the United States military cannot protect them in Iraq. And so what do? They hire mercenaries, so-called private security guards, bodyguards, whatever else you might call them, to do the job instead. The same thing happens with private security firms in any major corporation. They don't use the local cops to protect them. They hire private forces who have a greater incentive of doing so. Why would you, as a bureaucrat who's drawing basically a guaranteed salary as a cop, want to put your life on the line for someone else in terms of protecting their business? You might do it for them personally, but what about the business? The same thing's true of the military. Why would you expect people that are over there who didn't really expect to be the National Guard units and whatnot, all of a sudden, you know, they're in charge of protecting American lives? Well, what incentive do they have to do so? You know, American industry, what incentive do they have to do so? Well, it's not evidently very high. And what we see instead here is the people in the private industry are fed up with having their folks kidnapped and killed, and so they've hired private forces to take care of the problem, ex-military and others. This is a very interesting story, and it shows to me exactly what I've predicted all along, that the U.S. has failed by military action to protect people, and the free market would be able to do a better job of things. If you have a comment or question for that, we'd love to hear from you here at Christian Worldview, 864-201-6955. Let's shift gears a little bit. Another Fox News story this morning. Grandfather faces child porn charges. Manchester, New Hampshire, a man who took sexually explicit pictures of, get this, his two-year-old granddaughter was arrested on child porn charges after he printed the pictures at a drugstore and a clerk found the images, police said. The arrest of Richard Hawes, 63, came after a frantic police investigation of the identity of the girl in the photos. Fearing she was in danger, police finally released non-sexual photos of the toddler. All right, now folks, I'm going to stop reading the article here. I want you to think about this for a minute, and let me preface it by saying there's no one out there who's more against things like kiddie porn than me. This is just revolting, disgusting nonsense. But we're talking about a 63-year-old man here with a 2-year-old granddaughter. I mean, what kind? This can't really be pornography, can it? I mean, what possible excitement could there be for this particular man, this older man, with a 2-year-old? And furthermore, thinking back, how many folks have taken pictures of toddlers in bathtubs and whatever else for years. Now, they're claiming a toddler's in sexually explicit positions, but, you know, just looking at the way a little bit, you know, toddlers react and curl up and do what they do, it's really hard to believe this story for me. I just can't believe that somebody, you know, because he didn't have just pictures, it says later in the story, of this person or this baby naked, but also clothed and doing other things. It sounded like just grandpa maybe getting carried away, but just taking pictures of his granddaughter. Maybe it's his first one. I don't know. But this seems a little bit far-fetched. The rest of this guy, there must be something else to the story. Maybe some of you can enlighten me of whether or not there are truly people that are that freaked out they would look at a toddler that's 2 years old naked and get some kind of sexual interest in it. Perhaps there are. Maybe you need to educate the tyranny response unit. I'm glad to be educated. But to me, that seems a little bit far-fetched this morning. All right, here's some more stories for us to consider. Bush seeks renewal of the Patriot Act. Washington, allowing the Patriot Act to sunset would leave police officers in the dark, President Bush said Thursday to an audience of law enforcement officials in Columbus, Ohio. Bush, who is encouraging Congress to renew provisions of the 2001 law in face of resistance from civil liberties groups, say the measure goes too far. Use a local case to emphasize the utility of the law. In that case, a terrorist tax task force employed provisions of the Patriot Act to track down a man who was plotting attacks in New York and the Midwest. The man, Lyman Ferris, pled guilty of plotting attacks on the Brooklyn Bridge and in Ohio after he saw the case against him. So they're basically, Bush is out there giving up some kind of exceptional information to show that why he needs to terrorize all the rest of us. Bush, our great public enemy number one in this day and age, trying to get provisions of the Patriot Act passed. No surprise, just thought I'd report the news story, his latest tactic in getting the thing through. You're listening to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npprose.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted
and afflict the comfortable.
It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/first freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Also want to remind folks that on Monday evening coming up, the Institute on the Constitution will continue. You're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. South Point Baptist Church is a location, and it's at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. For more information or to register, you can call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. Hope you have a chance to do so. It's worthwhile, 269-1443. 4 more weeks left of the Institute on the Constitution. It's been a great time so far, and we hope you can make it out 6:30 p.m. Monday night to the address in Pelzer. If you miss any of the information and announcements we give here on the over the air, be sure to remember you can go to tyrannyresponse.com, tyrannyresponse.net, and you will find there all the details of events and a calendar and so forth to remind you of locations, phone numbers, and other information that we talk about on the air. Don't forget to go to tyrannyresponse.net and check out the information that you'll find there. It'll be very helpful, and you'll be glad you did. Make it a familiar visit for you. All right, we have a couple other stories and things to cover here. Before I do so, I wanted to go into an email that I received from Corey Burnell, who's been faithfully listening, of course, to the Christian Worldview Show from California and trying to encourage others in the Christian Exodus movement to do so. Corey writes in, "Hi, John, I wasn't able to listen to the show until now, but after hearing," he listens to the recording, in other words, "after hearing your definitions and distinctions between governments and states, I suppose I must agree with you for this simple reason, because the very definition of a state, any man who enforces the will of the state, which naturally intrudes on the God-given liberties of men, is committing sin. Therefore, by definition, it is impossible for a righteous man to head a state. If he were to act righteously, he would devolve the state to such a level as to meet the definition of a proper government." This is an interesting study and an interesting insight. Thank you for contributing to my educational improvement. And he laughs, and it is cute. Corey is considered a good friend of mine, and vice versa, I hope. And I think that's why he writes in that fashion. Also, he says, "Good points about Jefferson Davis's actions. I wrote before thinking. Shame on me." He's kidding. At any rate, or he's got a smiley face by it, at any rate. Corey, really appreciate those comments this morning, and I'm glad you're persuaded by what I had to say there between the difference between states and governments. We have been talking about finding godly people who've headed states in the past, especially outside of the theocracy in Israel, and there really we're not able to find one, including Jefferson Davis. Although we're very pro-South here, we're not pro-everything the South ever did, and that's certainly the case when it comes to old Jeff Davis. At any rate, having said that much, I want to give a lot of credit to the Founding Fathers once again, who were able to come out of victory over a tyrant, over a state ruler like King George or the Parliament, and install here a vision of liberty, a perspective that had been heretofore unheard of, unthought of in the history of the world, and put over it leaders like George Washington, James Madison, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, the first four presidents who had the vision of liberty and of limited government, did not try to create a state, and those men need to be applauded for their righteous actions in this regard. I don't know how many of you realize this, but Abraham Lincoln was the second president to ever have, and James Buchanan obviously the first one, to ever have a government-paid secretary. Before James Buchanan, all presidents used their wives as their secretaries. What do you think about that? What has government done now? Well, it's been transformed by Abraham Lincoln's, beginning with him at any rate, into a mega state. Before then, we truly had a constitutionally limited government, and that's what we'd like to get back to, if at all possible. And we're working towards that effort at the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. By the way, as I understand it, the Tyranny Response Network staff, the crew, has come up with wonderful means of moving forward in its quest to improve the signal in the upstate of South Carolina. And apparently this transformation is going to happen tomorrow, unless there are tornadoes and hurricanes or other thing to stop them. Things are really going to improve, and Spartanburg might even have some benefit itself. So stay tuned to the Tyranny Response Network, especially if for people who are having trouble receiving the signal. Try it again. Try again. This is a fledgling station, remember, and we're trying our best to continue on and improve signal quality. That should be on tap for this weekend, so by Monday morning, the signal should be dramatically different. Also want to remind folks that we are collecting for the Tyranny Response Network donations for this month of June, and there is a special promotion going on. $25 or more donated to the Tyranny Response Network will yield you a free copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. That book will be signed by me and sent to you. Simply go to the website, tyrannyresponse.net, and go down to the bottom, and you'll find there the address to mail your check, which is P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. We also want to encourage you to go to the policyofliberty.net website and utilize the PayPal function with a Visa or MasterCard. You can make an online contribution there as well. For those who contribute $100 or more this month, they'll also receive a free DVD entitled Warriors of Honor. This is about the great heritage and legacy of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Thanks for supporting the Tyranny Response Network. They're doing a great job, and they need to have this money in order to put all of it into signal enhancing equipment in the upstate and even in the low country of South Carolina. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Continuing on now with a few extra news stories, CBS News reports the politics of rape and contraception. Lori Robinson is a survivor. When I got into my, it got to my front doorstep, I saw a barrel of a gun pointing at my head. She says, I was rushed up to my apartment blindfolded and gagged with duct tape and tied down to my bed, and I was raped by two strangers. She feared disease, emotional collapse, but not pregnancy, because the hospital in Washington, D.C. offered her emergency contraception. Being told about the emergency contraception, she says, in that time of total devastation, it was a relief. But, as CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker reports, it wasn't a right, because these days emergency contraception is embroiled in the bitter politics of abortion. Well, I'm just going to interject here. That is because it is abortion. They're not talking about contraception. They're talking about killing a conceived fetus, baby, zygote, embryo, whatever else. This human being was destroyed by not contraception, not something to prevent him from being coming into being, but something that actually killed him. So why in the world they're calling it contraception is beyond me, except that they call sodomy gay, and so I guess anything can go if that's the case. Going on here a little further, as CBS are now there is some confusion over what emergency contraception is. It's not RU-486, the pill that can cause an abortion early in a pregnancy. Emergency contraception is known as the morning after pill, taken soon after rape. It can actually prevent a pregnancy. In a Colorado measure that would have required hospital to offer emergency contraception due to rape was vetoed by the governor. He was strongly supported by the Catholic Church, which calls it tantamount to abortion. If ovulation has occurred, there's potential for a new life in the woman, so the church's responsibility is to protect both the woman and the new baby, says Aaliyah Keys, coordinator for the Office of Marriage and Family in the Archdiocese of Denver. All right, now we want to hear from and the Bush administration, by the way, is strongly giving lip service, at any rate, to the side of the right here in opposing this so-called contraception. All right, we want to hear from a listener if you possibly know something about this morning after pill and how it really doesn't prevent or it really is a contraceptive and not actually abortifacient, which kills something or somebody, I should say. If you have a question or comment for the show, please do dial in 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We'd be glad to hear from you about this interesting issue. Oh, I bet she's so glad after getting raped this had happened. You know, the irritating thing is to me, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if you have a baby in you because you were raped. It doesn't give you the right to kill someone else. It's an awful thing that it happened, and someone should pay dearly the woman who's raped and has to bear a child from the abuser and the criminal that did it to her. But it's not the baby's fault that he was conceived through a crime. It really isn't. So why should he have to die? This is the fallacy of the whole industry, the whole mindset of Americans is somehow being raped. Gives us the right to, or someone committing a crime gives us the right to kill. We appreciate your thoughts on that. If you're interested in calling the show, once again, 864-201-6955. Especially want to hear from some medical professionals that might know about this morning after pill specifically. Was it contraceptive or abortifacient? Another news story from CBS News this morning. Church abuse payouts top $1 billion. The cost to the U.S. Roman Catholic Church of sexual predators in the priesthood has climbed past $1 billion, according to tallies by the American bishops in an Associated Press review of known settlements. And the figure is guaranteed to rise probably by tens of millions of dollars because hundreds more claims are pending. So the church, trying to use its great wealth, the Catholic Church, I should say, in order to bail out its bishops and other perverts that it has in its ranks and the priesthood and so forth, so after they get to abuse kids and cause all sorts of sexual deviance to go on, here they are paying off the victims in order to keep them quiet, hush money or whatever else you want to call it. And indeed, we have that going on to the tune of $1 billion. Another news story quickly, in a blow to Canada's healthcare system, Quebec law is voided. Toronto, the Supreme Court on Thursday struck down a Quebec law banning private medical insurance in a decision that represents an acute blow to the publicly financed national health care system. The High Court stopped short of striking down the constitutionality of the country's vaunted health care system nationwide, but specialists across the legal system said they expected the decision to lead to sweeping changes in the Canadian health care system. The language of the rule of the ruling will encourage more and more lawsuits, and those suits have greater likelihood of success in light of this judgment, said Lauren Sawson, acting dean of the University of Toronto Law School. So they struck down this law in Canada banning private medical insurance. Interesting. I wonder why people would want private medical insurance in such a glorious system where they have free medical care. What, some of these Canadians must be crazy. Why would they even spend money going to court and so forth? Well, just maybe it might not be that good after all, huh? Maybe we should sit up and take notice that it's really not so good up in Canada as far as health care. Quick announcement. Do you long for a return to the constitutionally limited government originally given us by our founding fathers, but feel powerless to make it happen? Are you disgusted with the immorality legislated from Washington and forced upon us by federal judges? Do you wish there were more people who felt the way you do? Well, Christian Exodus shares your beliefs. Our members are Christian constitutionalists just like you, and we're working on in South Carolina to let godly men who will refuse to obey legal court, federal court rulings, just as Judge Roy Moore did in Alabama. Our forefathers lit the path to liberty. Now our sons depend upon our success today. Please join with us at www.christianexodus.org. That's www.christianexodus.org. And we do appreciate, Corey and Christian Exodus, your support for the Tyranny Response Network, and in particular, the Christian Worldview Show with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up against a quick break. We appreciate you listening this morning to the Christian Worldview Show, and we look forward to returning shortly after the top of the hour. Until then, we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College.
Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back into Christian Worldview this morning. You can reach us at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Weather in the upstate currently overcast about everywhere. Greenville, Clemson, Anderson, all reporting in around 72 or 73 degrees. And it's going to get up to the mid-80s this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms
this morning.
And also in the afternoon with a few showers even. So be prepared for that as you make your way out to work today. And expect it might even be hotter than they say, as it's usually the case. Well, a couple quick things to mention. Yesterday's show and the day before, and I think even the day before that, people have brought up the income tax issue. And one thing worth mentioning is Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America. This is a book authored by Peter Hendrickson, and scores of readers of this new book have come to realize that the federal income tax does not apply to them. They have requested and received full refunds for the money withheld from their pay, including Social Security contributions. The total so far is well over $300,000 and is growing rapidly, and that just includes the refunds Cracking the Code author Peter Hendrickson knows about because of grateful correspondence from readers. Now, this is a fascinating topic, and basically Hendrickson argues in this book, and I've read it, it's a very good book, that some of the definitions used in the glossary of the Internal Revenue Code are very specific definitions of words like includes or including, or words like employee. And these definitions do not apply necessarily to the normal definition or usage of the word. So Hendrickson has this interesting theory, this book, that seems to show, as far as I can tell, very convincingly, that the only kinds of income or earnings that were actually considered income and subject to tax, according to the Internal Revenue Code, were privileged items. People who received privileges from the federal government as corporations or monopoly privileges through patents and licenses or worked for the government and things like that were liable to pay the tax. Other people were not. And so this code is showing, or this Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About America, I'm sure you can find it at losthorizons.com or Amazon. This book is being widely used now to help people find out they don't have any income tax liability. So if that's of interest to you, I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of that book. Also, I'd like to talk to you about it on the show. I'd like to hear from our readers, our listeners, who are readers of this book, who can give us some insight into this particular theory of taxation. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you don't have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month. That was last night at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome to talk politics. Join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and the Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Well, Chuck Baldwin is one of our favorite people to read here on the air, and this week he really doesn't have nothing new to complain about, but as usual, his points are very good and well taken. He says this: it seems that most of America's today's sermons are about little more than positive mental attitude, feel-good drivel, how to think better about yourself, how to squander more money on yourself, how to find yourself, how to pamper yourself, ad nauseum, ad infinitum, comparing the preaching and philosophy of most churches today of that of Bible characters will quickly reveal how unbiblical our churches have become, and this is clearly the case. It was Hellfire Holiness preacher that led my mother to Christ. A Hellfire Baptist preacher led my alcoholic father to Christ. I can even call many trips to the last remaining Billy Sunday Tabernacle at Winona Lake, Indiana, to hear the great Hellfire preachers from virtually every Protestant denomination in the country. I remember crowds of thousands sitting in those hard wooden benches for hours listening intently to those masterful sermons. In my mind, I can still see and smell the sawdust floors where hundreds of people rushed to the front to answer those altar calls at the studio high atop the platform where radio station WMBI transmitted those great sermons over the air last, those days are gone. And he's lamenting something here that I think is important for us to point out here on Christian Worldview, and that is Christians do not have a Christian worldview any longer. They don't even have a biblical theology of salvation or conservative orthodox views on what the Bible teaches about how people are to be saved and how they are to act. Instead, churches, by and large, have adopted the ways of this world. They've gone aside. They've gone astray. Now, I'm not a preacher, and I'm not here trying to encourage people to go back to some radical fundamentalism, so to speak. What I'm saying is that churches, if you go there nowadays, have dramatically changed from what they used to be. It's not the same kinds of churches today as we had during the 1770s, for instance, or even in the 1830s or 1840s, when there was a fight against the rise of the cults like Mormonism and Christian Science and these kinds of groups. You know, things have dramatically changed in America, and we really cannot expect to have great success in our land at heralding liberty until churches get their acts together, actually take a stand for what's true and righteous, and stand up for it. Even if half your congregation leaves, so what? What good is it for you to maintain large congregations of people that aren't hearing the truth? It's absolutely bizarre, and you need to take a stand for what the truth is. And I appreciate Chuck Baldwin making that point to pastors today. Whether or not they follow through with it, I don't know. We're going to try to get back when we come back from this break with Dr. James Dobson, who has completely flown off the deep end. Some people were telling us later on, some listeners, that he's even embraced Darwinian evolution. He's no longer even in the creationist camp. Well, he certainly flew off the handle with this latest remark and sending his cronies out to support the Bush war event in Iraq. And we'll be perhaps talking a little bit more about that when we return on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Yes, we've been actually maligning and putting down the theories of Dr. James Dobson. Now, I'm not going to criticize him as far as being his own particular faith necessarily. I don't know if he's a saved man or not. I assume that he is. But Christians today equate Christianity with James Dobson. After all, who is the greatest living Christian in America if not James Dobson? And focus on the family. Isn't that what it's all about? Well, folks, I'd be happy to admit that's the case. But from what I understand, again, from two different sources and by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall everything be established, this man has embraced an evolutionary framework in terms of natural science. Even though he's a psychologist, he's decided to branch out into talking about other things, which is always a dangerous thing to do. You would think he would think twice before doing that. Well, he's also done the same thing with political philosophy, moral philosophy, and in particular public policy issues, which he obviously knows nothing about. And one of his cronies, Mr. King, had written back to discuss the views of James Dobson on the war in Iraq. He says this. This is this person writing from the Focus on the Family show to Mr. King, who could criticize the just war policy. Thank you for writing to Focus on the Family. Your interest in our ministry is appreciated. We read this yesterday, by the way. I'm reading it again because it's so appalling. So any of you listening to the show yesterday, yes, you're getting a repeat. It's worth hearing the repeat. Just because it's James Dobson. If it were anybody else, we might only give him one shot through here. But here is James Dobson the second time through reading this story. Your interest in our ministry is appreciated, and we are pleased to have this opportunity to respond to your questions and concerns. We're sorry to learn that you took offense at the title and content of Terry Phillips' Citizen Link article, Left Says Iraqi War Unbiblical. In response to the points you've made, I think it's fair to say that Mr. Phillips never meant to imply that anyone who disagrees with President Bush should be labeled a leftist. Instead, he was merely pointing out that the vast majority of those religious leaders who have criticized the war in Iraq do represent a liberal perspective on biblical and theological as well as social and political issues. This, as far as it goes, is a matter of plain fact. Where Iraqi conflict itself is concerned, Dr. Dobson wants it known that his feelings on the subject are intense and deeply held. He realizes there are many American Christians who do not share his point of view. Nevertheless, his own position is absolutely non-negotiable. As an adherent of the classic Augustinian just war theory, he is convinced that this is a case where the biblical and theological justifications for use of force are fairly obvious. You might be right in asserting the U.S. invasion of Iraq was not defensive in the strictest and most narrowly defined sense of the term. However, viewed within the larger context of the global war on terrorism, the defensive nature of America's preemptive strike against Hussein seems indisputable. Please don't misunderstand. Dr. Dobson doesn't like war and killing any better than you do, but he believes that this may be one of those moments in history when we are forced to settle for a trade-off, the lives of a few in exchange for the lives of the many. This is always tragic in the extreme, and yet we must face the fact that even more deaths and greater sufferings would probably have ensued if Saddam had been allowed to pursue his mad course of oppression, aggression, and self-aggrandizement. We hope this reply has helped to clarify our position for you, Mr. King. Thanks again for taking the time to get in touch. Don't hesitate to let us know if we can be of any further assistance. God bless you. And this is Mr. Timothy Masters writing to Mr. King for Focus on the Family. You know, this is just such horrendous nonsense. I hope it struck you a chord with you as I read that to you. There is no way you can justify a Christian war of aggression to say the anthill is suffering there in Iraq. There's a million ants. Let's go kill off 15,000 of them, 50,000 of them, 100,000 of them in hopes of saving the rest of the anthill or improving their quality of life. You cannot kill innocent people and be just as a Christian. This is pure nonsense. It's ridiculous. It is not something that comes from the Bible. It comes from a Marxian understanding of the world, a neocon understanding of the world, and that's where Dr. James Dobson is at, folks. If this is truly what he believes, he is outside the pale of, as far as I'm concerned, an orthodox and conservative Christianity. He himself has become the liberal and what he accuses others of being, and has imbibed a particular point of view which has been heralded by Marxists and socialists for years. It's a disgusting point of view that we need as Christians to be revolted at and to reject entirely. Now, the reply from Mr. King has been very interesting. He wrote, and we read, the first three tenets of his reply, talking about the five tenets, actually, of the Augustinian just war theory. And when he continues on here, he makes a great point in destroying the whole idea that James Dobson is supporting a Christian historical ethic, because he's not. The fourth point of Augustine's, however you like to pronounce that word, Augustine's just war theory is this: there has to be a last resort. Even when necessity demands it, war is a tragedy to be avoided at all costs, save justice. An offended nation must not rush to war, but it must instead exhaust every peaceful mean to secure justice, for example, diplomatic negotiation, extended inspections, before resorting to physical combat. Augustine wrote that the greater glory in militarism was merited not by killing men with swords, but by waging war with words and by achieving peace by itself. Obviously, we would not receive a passing grade on number four. Bush went to the UN to receive their endorsement for the war against Iraq. When they refused to war, he went to war anyway. He said to the UN that war was fought for them. Are you confused yet, Mr. Masters? He goes on to say this kind of fits right in with the condition four of St. Augustine tenets, doesn't it? When we find out that he was sworn to uphold the Constitution, and the Congress had not even debated a formal declaration of war, he did not want to even possibly have this war not go off, and so he continued on the course that he did. Dr. Bush did not order the UN inspectors out of Iraq prior to the bombing, did he? Where is the greater glory that Augustine speaks of in number four? Have we achieved peace by itself? No, sir, we have failed miserably, says this writer, Mr. King. Number five, the fifth action is discrimination. While in any armed conflict, non-combatant civilians are killed or wounded, warring states must do all in their power to prevent the direct killing and to diminish the risks of indirect killing of innocent men, women, and children. I guess that wouldn't have worked well at Hiroshima or Nagasaki, would it? Or in Iraq, for that matter. The deliberate targeting of innocents would be a criminal act, even in an otherwise just war. And this was, of course, the case with Sherman and Lincoln, under Lincoln's direction in attacking Georgia and the rest of the South with his march to the sea. It's been the case of neocons throughout American history and leftists all over the world, folks, this kind of anti-just war thinking. Need I say more than Abu Ghraib here, Mr. Masters? Abu Ghraib, Mr. Masters, these people were not innocent. Then why were so many released after the photographs came out? There is no evidence any of them had been convicted of anything. To justify anyone's support of the debacle in Iraq by quoting the tenets of Augustine, just war principles, would require a terrible distortion of the meanings of those tenets. Could it be that the support of the FOF in this debacle is because Bush declared himself a Christian and claimed to be doing God's work? I would remind you that history reveals that Hitler himself referred to Germany in many of his speeches as a Christian nation and referred to himself as a man of God doing God's will. Hey, Bill Clinton even went to church and carried a Bible. So what? Continuing on here, if Saddam posed no threat, was not involved in 9/11, did not gas the Kurds, then why would we even care if he had weapons of mass destruction? Do we plan to invade Pakistan, India, or Israel? They all possess such weapons. Pakistan certainly does not have democratic government, and they have been known to harbor members of Al-Qaeda. Did not a leader of Pakistan's military, Lieutenant General Muhammad Ahmad, a U.S. appointee, send a check for $100,000 to Muhammad Atta, one of the 9/11 hijackers? This is a much better direct evidence of connection to 9/11 than we ever had against Saddam. Yet we have not invaded Pakistan, nor do I hear the folks at FOF demanding that invasion. I am certainly no liberal. I did not hold any high regard for John Kerry either. In fact, I think of him with a great deal of contempt. Kerry's only attribute is that sometimes he made even Bush appear intelligent. I look forward to your reply. I doubt it's forthcoming. That is an excellent piece and I'm glad we had a chance to read the last couple tenets of his argument in showing that George Bush is not engaging in a just war or a war that can be condoned by Christians. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Back here to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just a few tidbits of information. Let me give the phone number once again, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Still working to upgrade lots of equipment in the studio and elsewhere at a snail's pace. Of course, we have a volunteer staff at the Tyranny Response Network, and all of them have day jobs. So if you wonder why things don't get done quickly here, that's why. The signal, however, should be vastly improved this weekend. They've already geared up to take advantage of the new equipment they've received. They're looking to receive more new equipment, however. They want to expand the signal even further, and that's why there's a special donation drive at the Tyranny Response Network this month. If you go to tyrannyresponse.net or .com, to the bottom of the webpage, there you'll find the address for the Tyranny Response Network, P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. Send a check of $25 or more, and you'll receive a free copy signed by me of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. $100 or more, you'll also receive the video, Warriors of Honor, about the legacy and heritage of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. You can also make a donation through the PayPal button, link at the bottom of the homepage of policyofliberty.net. If you go there, you can use PayPal, the online payment service, as well as your credit card to make a contribution to this great cause. Help us spread the signal. Help the Tyranny Response Network. They're in need of thousands of dollars right now, several thousand. And if everybody chips in just a little bit, we'll be able to achieve that goal. So by all means, go to the websites tyrannyresponse.com or policyofliberty.net and find there a way that you can make a small cash donation. Don't put it off. Don't say other people will do it. Go ahead and make the donation yourself. Make the call yourself and make a small contribution to helping a very great cause here in the upstate of South Carolina. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger back again in the news, speaking of neocons. Sacramento, a judge Tuesday upheld the first in the nation law requiring hospitals to have at least one nurse for every five patients. How expensive is that going to make health care? The Schwarzenegger administration and California Hospital Association both vowed to appeal Sacramento County Superior Court Judge Judy Holzer, Hersher said the administration erred when it issued an emergency order last November trying to delay the state law requiring hospitals to provide more nurses. Schwarzenegger violated law in attack on RN to patient ratios. Today's decision sends a compelling, unmistakable message that this governor is not above the rule of law and that a law enacted to protect patients may not be sabotaged simply to financially benefit the his hospital corporate donors, said California Nurses Association President Deborah Berger. Well, Deborah, guess what? When you have to force more people to hire nurses when they're in short supply, you're going to end up paying a lot of extra money, and it's going to drive the cost of health care up. I know that it'd be nice to have more people in the hospital caring for you, but if you're there as a patient, but nevertheless, at some point, it just gets too expensive, and who's going to foot the bill for that? No doubt you have in mind the taxpayers in California. Schwarzenegger actually is right on this one. Hard to believe. Health news, Schwarzenegger violated attack. Okay, this was the original story. I'm reading it twice. Don't ask me why. I'm going to move on here. I guess because it was sent to my email box here twice. I need to watch out when that happens more carefully. If you want government to intervene domestically, you're a liberal, says James Sobrin. If you want government to intervene, Joseph Sobrin. If you want government to intervene overseas, you're a conservative. If you want government to intervene everywhere, you're a moderate. If you don't want government to intervene anywhere, you're an extremist, like Joseph Sobrin. And I guess I would be an extremist as well, the Tyranny Response Unit. Yes, I am an extremist. What can I say? They consider me extreme because I teach the truth. I tell people what is right and good and uphold the vision of the Founding Fathers, the vision that Scripture would uphold here in the land for Christians to see plain and clear, even though they don't. They still follow along like the Pied Piper gullibly, like mice after the Pied Piper gullibly believing whatever George W. Bush and the Republican Party promises them, none of which ever comes to fruition, which always is some kind of a joke, actually a laughingstock event. Yet, nevertheless, this is the nature of the Christian church today, sad as it may be. Okay, we also have an article about the Patriot Act jolting the reform-minded. Patriot Act jolts reform-minded, says Newswire, even the White House seeks to counter a movement by some conservatives and liberals to curb some of the Patriot Act powers, interestingly enough. Administration allies and Senate moved this week to tack on new powers to the 2001 law. The Senate Intelligence Committee, meeting behind closed doors on Tuesday, approved a bill that would hand FBI agents authority to write their own subpoenas, without having a plan, having to obtain a judge's approval. Well, that's interesting that the White House is even standing up against that, since we already know how much he supports the Patriot Act. I would like to know more details about this story. If any of you know something more about this act from Newswire, let us know here at Christian Worldview. The phone number 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. All right, here's an Orchestrating Terrorism by Paul Craig Roberts article. Interesting highlights that the Tyranny Response Network's research staff has emailed me this morning. There have been a vast quantity of terror alerts, the purpose of which is to scare Americans into supporting an unnecessary and illegal aggressive attack on Iraq. As very few, if any, real terrorists have turned up, the FBI has resorted to creating terrorists by soliciting Muslim Americans and appealing to them with schemes to aid jihadists. Recently, two American citizens were caught in an FBI sting. One, an Ivy League-educated physician, is charged with agreeing to provide medical care to wounded holy warriors in Saudi Arabia. The other, a famous jazz musician, is charged with agreeing to train jihadists in martial arts. What the FBI has done to Dr. R.A. Sabir and to Tariq Shah was once known as entrapment, but not anymore. Unfortunately, law and order conservatives used fear of crime to give our police more effective measures to clear criminals off our streets and managed to eliminate the entrapment defense. The fact that campaign contributions come from interest groups that expect to be represented did not count in the stung U.S. representatives' favor. They just don't like the idea of entrapping these U.S. representatives, do they? Well, in fact, they do. The FBI handed out large bundles of cash to congressmen who accepted the offer to represent fake sheiks' interests. Film footage of the congressmen stuffing their pockets with money was all the FBI needed to convict the members. Yes, they're corrupt in the state. We knew that. Note that the two latest victims, Sabir and Tariq, could not have offered their services to jihadists because no jihadists were present. Note also that Sabir and Tariq are not accused of actually performing an act of service. Sabir and Tariq had no contact with real jihadists, and they committed no act of service to jihadists, yet both faced $250,000 fines and 15 years in prison. Can you believe that? All that happened was that two productive American citizens were deceived by government agents for no other purpose than those agents having to show results on the war on terror. Sad. Both men have wives and children. Suppose both men agreed to provide some service to jihadists. We don't know that they did. We only have the FBI's word for it, a word which is not worth much. The reason could be easily fear of reprisals. When was the last time a terrorist attacked with judo or karate? Yeah, that's a good question. Interesting question. But now he's going to jail for 15 years for practicing this art. But if the U.S. is prepared to deny medical treatment to its opponents, why does anyone doubt the torture story? So it's another good point. Why would we care if medical treatment should be applied to people who are our opponents. That's an interesting question. Wouldn't we? Did we care for people that are the wounded on the other side, or do we just kill them? Don't know how things actually work in warfare. Perhaps someone can educate me on that. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The phone number at the station here, 864-201-6955. Hope you have a chance to call today. Look forward to hearing from you, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina on this 10th day of June 2005, 72 degrees or 73 throughout most of the upstate, Greenville, Spartanburg, Clemson, and Anderson. Going to get up only into the mid-80s, the Weather Service says today, because there'll be rainy periods. Thunderstorms this morning should give way to partly cloudy skies for a little while, and then thunderstorms once again later on. So be prepared for that as you make your way out to work today. A little bit of wet weather, it seems like, and a little bit of severe weather on top of that. So we want to go ahead and encourage you to be prepared, as we usually do here on the Christian Worldview Show. Well, lots of interesting other things coming up in the news on the educational side of things. We report on various facts, of course, here on the Christian Worldview Show. There's been an article written on the LouRockwell.com website, one of our favorite ones for the Tyranny Response Network to peruse. This one by Linda Schrock Taylor, The Attitude Towards Parents. For those who believe that the current methods, behaviors, and non-achievement in the schools are counterproductive and even destructive, as Eliza expressed in My Fair Lady, just you wait. Most schools have yet to reach the bottom, but the slide is steeply sloped for rapid descent. Putting faith in government entities to stop and turn the tide of academic and cultural decay would be akin to asking one bully with a few buddies to stop a runaway freight train. It just will not happen while the current curricula, attitudes, and philosophies are in place. Confucius said, to put the world in right order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our own personal lives. We must set our hearts right. The wisdom of this advice is awesome. All change must begin at the level of individuals and families. At these levels are put in order, the foundation will be prepared so that the attention can be shifted on the problems of the next level. Mandates from D.C. will do nothing to repair persons and families, and without that base, government directives will have the same outcome as spitting in the wind. Let's see what it says here about, so you got some quotes now about what parents often say, or what's often said about parents by public schoolers. Parents send their children to school not ready to learn, quote unquote. Here's another couple quotes. It wouldn't hurt the parents to read a few books to the kids before they send them to school. The children don't even know their colors. The parents could at least teach those things before sending their kids to school. These children have no experience base at all. I doubt the parents have exposed them to anything before sending them to school. The parents can't even read. The parents live off welfare as they do, have plenty of time to work with these kids before sending them to school, knowing nothing. As legislative plans fail to bring order, so academic focus and honest achievement education to blame for the escalating problems is deflected onto the parents. Complaints become more numerous, accusations more specific. The blaming, the shift, the shaming, the complaints directed at parental defects basically accuse the family of being the root cause of the failure in the schools. Actually, there's truth to these charges, although the parents are the points of defense as well. In the 1970s, I took three classes from my very favorite professor at Eastern Michigan University. He provided his students with wonderful insights about children, parents, people in general. He warned us to not automatically blame parents. He believed that every parent has done the best that they could at the point of time in their lives. If they could have done better, they would have. I never met a person whose goal in life was to grow up and become a bad parent. All right, well, I'll skip through the rest of this article. It's interesting how this insight comes through from this woman. I think she's quite right. And her at the end, she says, parents must assume responsibility for their education to their children, even when it means the best decision is to temporarily reduce their standard of living so one parent can be available to homeschool. Parents who are parenting with wisdom can encourage and model for others. Churches can offer parenting classes. Citizens can organize classes for community members in need of guidance and support so that they too can take back lead and heal their families. Families and neighbors and friends can work together to put things right at the familial level. After this has been accomplished, the culture can turn again to the nation, attention to the nation. This will be a slow process, but we're at the point in which we must start. In order to put the nation right, returning it to the original intentions of the founding fathers, they knew the kind of country this was meant to be, and does U.S. Representative Ron Paul. But I have serious doubts about most legislators across the land, and as well you should, Linda Schrock Taylor. You're absolutely right. Now that's a good article, and I appreciate her emphasis on the true way to resolve this, and that's through homeschooling. Homeschooling is the way you should do it. It is the proper method. It's not to say that people who send their kids to Christian school are wrong or by any sense of the stretch of the imagination. They could be, because some Christian schools are bad, but by and large it could be an alternative that they could choose. I still prefer homeschooling. I think it's the most biblical method, and it's the most direct method to make sure that kids are raised correctly. And elite are taking the homeschool route. An article by Saul Ruibal in USA Today says, Will Viana gets out of bed at 4 a.m., washes his face, and pads into the kitchen of his family's home in Valrico, Florida, for a bowl of oatmeal. This is not a middle-of-the-night snack. The slim 13-year-old soon will head out through the rain and gloom for several grueling hours of swim practice. When his Blue Wave teammates finish their workouts, they will rush to catch a bus that will take them to their public schools. But Viana, an aspiring Olympian, will head home for a second breakfast and his lessons, taught by his mother, Tracy. He'll be back in the pool by mid-afternoon. Viana and his family are part of a small but growing trend. Kids are taking to the elite levels of athletics without setting foot in a classroom. Homeschooling. The practice is controversial. Advocates claim it is a boon for the talented, while detractors say that it puts short-term athletic goals ahead of academics. There were more than 1.1 homeschooled youths in the USA in spring 2003, and that number is very, very low. The real number is much higher, up from 850,000 in 1999, according to the most recent numbers of the National Center for Education Statistics. That's about 2.2% of the USA's student-age population, or one of every 45 students. And I'm thinking that number is closer to 5%. Most learn at home because their family's religious beliefs or concerns about the educational environment at traditional schools, but some are bypassing the traditional high school to college professional path to hone their skills with more flexibility and fewer restrictions from school activity associations and league rules. Homeschooling is an especially good educational strategy for children with exceptional talents, says Michael Stevens, Associate Professor of Education at Sociology at New York University, the author of The Kingdom of Children, Culture and Controversy in the Homeschooling Movement, a look at the social history of homeschooling. Parents can organize learning around the passions and skills of their children. The numbers are still few, but some have impressive athletic credentials, and they go on to list great basketball players, swimmers, and so forth that have been homeschoolers, and it provides greater flexibility. They're, of course, raising lots of doubts and questions. Why? Because they hate it. Public school people and people in the mass media can't like homeschooling because it's their undoing. But we support it here, of course, here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We think this is the greatest method we could possibly think to win the battle ahead of us. Public school educated people are not going to be the victors in the future. They're going to be the victims, continued victims, of the oppressive state which we are now coming under here in the great land of the free. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we'd like to welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. A couple quick announcements. Joyce and Dr. Stephen Yates would like to let you know that Monday there will be a roundtable discussion on CAFTA, That's one of these so-called free trade agreements. This really is a globalist socialist organization movement that tries to undermine the sovereignty of the American nation and our Constitution. You can attend one of these meetings at 11 a.m. at Mount Vernon Mills in Malden, and one at 1:15 p.m. at Hartness International on Garlington Road in Greenville. This will be Monday, June 13th. Attendees are welcome to bring literature that was checked out, and people actually have already called. Stephen and Joyce have called to accept the invitation. If anyone is able to go to these meetings, they would greatly appreciate you doing so. I realize it's during the workday, and they do too. For most people, it's going to be impossible to get over there at either 11 a.m. at Mount Vernon Mills or 1:15 p.m. at Hartness International. Interesting that both meetings are after or before lunch. But if you can make it over there, by all means, do so. It's a great cause and definitely worth having somebody there with the right perspective. I also want to encourage you to attend the Libertarian meeting coming up, a picnic for the 2005 Carolina Day celebration, June 18th in Williamston. You can join Upstate Libertarians for their 5th annual Carolina Day picnic at Williamston's Mineral Springs Park. Hope you can be there. Be interesting speakers in a time of food and getting to talk with people about some of the great issues of the day as far as politics and our freedom-minded values. Also want to encourage you to subscribe to the Times Examiner, or if you have a business, to put an ad in the Times Examiner. You can do so, subscribe to the Times Examiner by calling 864-268-0576. If you'd like to put an ad in the Times Examiner, which is a very inexpensive way to publicize your business or your product, you can do so by calling David at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Hope you do, and help this great effort, this great paper in its work. Full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state, $27 out-of-state, and you'll be able to hear great columnists, non-liberals. Well, at least there might be some neocons in there, but for the most part, you get to hear true constitutionalists, true conservatives, pro-life libertarians, all in the Times Examiner paper. Hope you have a chance to subscribe. Again, 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad, call David at 864-244-6464. Remember, any time that we've mentioned addresses, names, phone numbers, events, and so forth, and you don't have a chance to write them down, you may be driving in the car and don't have an opportunity, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website or tyrannyresponse.net website, and you'll be able to pull up all the information there right at your fingertips on your desktop. And we would encourage you very much to do so. All right, well, here's some controversial stuff coming up. Actually, we're coming towards the last 10 minutes of the show, aren't we? Well, we want to, I think we're going to forego our last break here. We may well do that. The phone number to call into the show today is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Lines have been fairly quiet today for whatever reason, but we'd like to encourage you to give us a call and talk about some of these key issues and important issues we have had an opportunity to discuss today on the show. Well, here is a very controversial article that someone sent to me, and I thought I'd read it a little bit of it and see what some of you think about it. Perhaps there's some truth to it. A lot of things I can learn as well here at the Tyranny Response Network. And sometimes things seem a little shocking and may not be actually correct, but worth discussing, because you never know with the mainstream news media what you're getting is actually the truth. Prison Planet from June 9th, 2005 reports the following. Retired DEA agent Calerino Cele Castillo III served for 12 years in the Drug Enforcement Administration, where he built cases against organized drug rings in Manhattan, raided jungle cocaine labs in the Amazon, conducted aerial eradication operations in Guatemala, and assembled and trained anti-narcotics units in several countries. Cele appeared in the Alex Jones Show, and Alex Jones has been on here talking about his research, which seems pretty impressive, that the 9/11 attacks were sponsored, actually, or at least somehow had something to do with the knowledge, foreknowledge and preparation of George W. Bush in order for him to achieve self-aggrandizement and his increased war on terror. He makes a good case for that. You may not agree, but it certainly sounded good what Alex Jones had to say. At any rate, this man was on the show discussing this, and he dropped the bombshell that Los Zetas, Mexican drug commandos trained in the U.S. at the School of Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia, to be the elite special forces of the Mexican military, are now murdering police and conducting hits all over the southwest United States. This partially came out in the national media last week, but the spin was that it was just a case of blowback and that these U.S.-trained commandos had come back to haunt their former handlers. The truth is that they are still working for the U.S. government in protecting drug routes to keep the wheels of Wall Street oiled. The commandos are working directly for the Bush drug cartel and carrying out hits on rival drug smugglers who aren't paying their cut. Witnesses and innocent police, DEA and FBI agents are also being murdered. Celi Castillo, that same blueprint they used in Guatemala and in Vietnam, have now brought to Iraq, and into the same colonel who ran the death squads down in El Salvador, Colonel James Steele, is now running these commando unit death squads in Iraq. So basically, we have the same individuals, same cell groups that were in Vietnam, that came to Central America and Miami and so forth, are now in Iraq, and some of them are being trained here in South Texas. There's warehouses down here, and they're training more SETAs individuals that will that work for the cartels. Well, at any rate, I'm not going to be able to read this whole argument here, but it sounds like somebody's claiming that there are cop killers working for Bush. May or may not be the case, not sure, but it's interesting reading, to say the least. I would be interested to hear someone who's informed discuss whether or not there's any truth to this sort of accusation. It sounds far-fetched, but as I said, a lot of things sound far-fetched until you find out they're actually true. And we at Christian Worldview want to be the first to be able to discuss and report on these kinds of things. Well, lots of different stories we can discuss on the Christian Worldview show have to do with economics, and right now we have an opportunity to review one that came out some time ago, March 1985, actually, by Hans Senholz, a famous, well-known Austrian economist of the late 20th century. Yeah, he was the head of the Department of Economics at Grove City College in Pennsylvania for a long time, was a noted writer and lecturer on economic, political, and monetary affairs. He says, there is a disturbing thing about foreign affairs. They're foreign. They do not conform to the world we admire, which is our own. Foreign matters are viewed with suspicion, yea, even dislike and contempt. Protectionism, which proposes to use the authority of government and instruments of coercion to restrict trade with foreigners, builds on this psychological foundation. In the minds of many people, the ancient association of foreigner with enemy still lingers on. Foreigners are blamed for all kinds of evil, real and imagined. They are censured for being inscrutable and unproductive in their trade relations, engaging in ruthless competition, gouging in their trade partners through prices being high or too low, exploiting workers through sweatshop wages and conditions. But above all, trade with foreigners is believed to be the most disruptive to commerce and industry, ever changing in composition and structure. Protectionists offer instant gains through removal of foreign competition and protection from the pains of readjustment. But despite all the opposition to change, the world is a scene of changes. Today is not yesterday. We ourselves change, as do our thoughts and works. Change may be painful, yet ever needful. And so he's basically telling us that if you have protectionism, you have failure in the world. And public policies of protectionism may give short-term gains to a few, but in the long run, they hurt everyone. Well, we would spend the rest of the time reading some more from that, but we have a caller, and we want to jump to that opportunity now to take the call. And as we have only 5 minutes left in the program or less, welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, good morning. This is Chuck.
Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for calling the Christian Worldview show. Chuck, can you hold on just a second? We're having trouble with a microphone again. Go ahead. Can we hear you now? Try it again.
Okay. Is this better?
Well, unfortunately, we have one microphone set up here that doesn't work well. We need to get with our volunteers and see if we can't get that repaired. At any rate, we hear you now. You're on Christian Worldview. Go ahead.
Okay. I haven't heard lately how... Let me back up. I recently heard a reenactment of a speech by Patrick Henry, and he was talking about the need for unity among the colonies and their response to Great Britain, and I'm reminded of the need here for unity among our groups. And I believe there was an idea floated about committees of correspondence. I wonder if you had any news about that.
Well, I wish I did. We there is one man associated with the Tyranny Response Network that's working specifically on that task, although I think he hasn't had a lot of time to put more effort into it, unfortunately. But we are looking, the Tyranny Response Network is looking for pastors. If you're a like-minded pastor, or you're an academic specifically, or you're a leader of a political party movement or some other political action group, to join forces together in forming a committee of correspondence type effort, the same things that spawned and spurred on the American Revolution or the War for American Independence, the 12 years prior to it, where these committees of correspondence existed here in America. So if you are a pastor or a political party leader, or just an academic who loves the visions of liberty, and especially the Christian worldview, we would appreciate hearing from you. If you want to go ahead and send an email to the questions@policyofliberty.net site, or our site address, I should say, we'll be happy to forward it on to those who are handling the committees of correspondence.
Okay, I think it's a good idea. We seem to have a lot of people who basically want the same thing. They want more freedom, but we are awfully splintered in how we go about it, and sometimes end up fighting each other, which I think is very unproductive.
You're certainly right about that, and I really appreciate that point, Chuck, and appreciate the call.
Okay. Enjoy talking to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Chuck. Well, we appreciate the caller, as I said, and we're coming up close to the end of the show today. Let me just make the quick announcement. The Tyranny Response Network is currently trying to expand its signal again here in the upstate, and because of that, they have a drive to obtain small donations from many people. You can't believe how it'll add up to get the new equipment that they need. Even a few $1,000 is fairly easy to raise if you do your part and just send in a very small amount, $10, $20, whatever you can afford during this month of June. For those who can send in $25 or more, they will receive a free copy signed by me of my latest book, Bible and Government Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Those who send in a large contribution of $100 or more will also receive a free copy of the DVD Warriors of Honor, about the life and legacy of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. Hope that you can do so. If you want to contribute, go to the homepage, policyofliberty.net, and use your PayPal online service or a Visa or MasterCard. Or you can go to the homepage of the Tyranny Response Network, scroll down to the bottom to find the address in Piedmont, P.O. Box 151, and send a check. Be sure to include your name and address so we'll know where to send the books and materials to. Thanks so much for listening to Christian Worldview today with Dr. John Coben. Hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll be back again on Monday morning to hear again another great instance of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Till then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.